los soldados me abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba al ver a que llegaba de la cruz.
Thank you, Brother Brian. I had quite a decision to make, and I prayed over it. And in fact, I prepared another sermon for this conference, and because various things took place, I went back to a different one. So sometimes we can change our minds, but really the thoughts that I'm going to present tonight kind of centered around some that I gave a few weeks ago in Grand Junction, Colorado, in answer to some specific questions. And I have heard some say that today we aren't experiencing the miracles and different things like this. And so I wanted to address that tonight. And if you recall last night in the sermon, he said, we believe in the gifts. We need to use the gifts. And I wish to address somewhat tonight on the spiritual gifts, and especially on the gift of miracles. And I have chosen as a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'll use the first 11 verses before I complete reading it. And the Apostle Paul, speaking to the people of Corinth of old, had this to say, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." And so he looked back into the life of these people he was talking to, a people who once served idols, idols of wood and stone and maybe even metal, but they served idols. They did not serve the God of heaven that you and I serve. But through the preachings and teachings of those like the Apostle Paul and others of the ministry, they were converted unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So that's the way we really know that Jesus is the Lord, by the Holy Ghost. We know by experiences that we each have had that we believe that Jesus is. But I have not seen him. But I know He is real because of experiences I've had and what it says in the Scriptures. So by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can really know all things. Now there are diversities of gifts, or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. They don't all function the same. They aren't all alike, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. They even operate differently. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. And I want to impress upon us tonight that that is a factual statement. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So to one may be given one gift, to another another gift. Some might have more than one gift. But it is given for each one to profit with all. And before I read any further, I would like to turn to 1 Nephi 3. And it's found on page 26. And just read two verses there. As Nephi had a statement to make, and he knew his father had told him about that marvelous vision that he had had, Lehi's vision, and Nephi too beheld it. But I want to read the statement that he said here. And I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see. He wanted to know about that marvelous vision, and hear and know of these things. And really, that vision that they had even come down into some of the things that is of our history, our founding fathers, and on down. So we know a great and marvelous work took place then. And he says that I might know these things by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to impress that upon us. Which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek Him. So to those who diligently seek God, the power of the Holy Ghost can be yours, to those that diligently seek Him. As well as in times of old, it happened to our forefathers, it happened to those many times years ago, as in the time that He should manifest Himself unto the children of men. And Jesus Christ already manifested Himself unto the children of men. He lived here and was tempted as you and I. We know the story. He was crucified and resurrected. And we can be thankful for that. And there is hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of His resurrection to be raised to life eternal. And that is the hope of people who believe in Him. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can be eternally thankful that we do not believe in a changeable God. As even some do believe that God does change. If God changed, not a one in this room would know where He was. But God is unchangeable. What He laid down for Adam, Lehi, Alma, Isaiah, Abraham, and all the others, I will not even attempt to name them all, or neither could I, is no more or no less than He expects of you and I tonight. So I want to lay down some rather plain, simple things tonight, plain to the understanding of everyone in here, even to the little children, I hope. Because therein is where our hope lies. And we know that within the Scriptures, it tells us to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We know Paul, in speaking to Timothy, said, "From a child thou hast known the Scriptures." So we who are older, parents, grandparents, have got a duty to train these little children up in the way they should go. We must not be forgetful of our duty. Well, I'd like to read on here in verse 8 of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, incidentally, if you read that in Moroni, it says to teach the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, unusual knowledge. By the same Spirit, this is done. To another, faith by the same Spirit. In the book of Moroni, it says exceeding great faith. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And we know there's a charge. If there's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him anoint their head with oil, and the affectionate fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so to any elder can lay hands on the sick, and the sick can be healed. But to some has it as a special gift. This is what it says here. To some is given the gift of healing. To another, the working of miracles. And really, a healing is a miracle. But there is a separate thing called miracles. And that is different. That could be done under the spoken word and without even the use of oil or the laying on of hands of the elders. To another, prophecy. And that is important. And you had brought out last night, I believe, that surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. In Amos 3:7, that's found. To another, discerning of spirits. And that is an important gift. But not everybody has it. Everybody can try the spirits, but to some have a special gift of discernment. That's what the scripture says. I believe it. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So some can speak in tongues and some can interpret, but not everybody has this gift. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So these gifts are given to each person according to the will of God. I would like to turn to the book of Moroni, found in the 10th chapter and on page 776. I want to pick up a little further about these gifts, because I feel that is an important thing in our lives. And before I complete tonight, I want to bear some testimonies, personal testimonies of some miracles of God. I want to share them with you. And I'd like to start reading in verse 12. And all these gifts cometh by the Spirit of Christ. And listen carefully. That's where they come from. And they come unto every man severally according as he will. That's what I just read over here. Dividing to every man severally as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. Every good gift, that says. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I already brought that out from 1 Nephi, the 3rd chapter. These scriptures rather amaze me at times, the agreement that is found within them. And a lot of times, I find, even when I get up here, more agreement than I even realized when I was looking over the references. So the power of God works in a lot of ways. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. That's the only reason that they be done away with. Wherefore, there must be faith. Now, it's going to outline rather plain and rather simply here tonight these things that are important to have these spiritual gifts. There must be faith. And then it goes on to say, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except you have charity, you can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. And so I hope you don't think I'm like a broken record, because I go back to the definition of charity time and time again. And that's only half of it. I'm going to go on going back to it. It is the pure love of Christ, and whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And then in that next verse it says, he charged us with all the energy of heart to pray to the Father in the name of Christ that we do these things. And it says, the Father hath bestowed this upon all who are the true followers of his Son. The Father has bestowed this love upon all who are the true followers of his Son. Now, are we the true followers of His Son? If we are, then that wonderful gift of love will be bestowed upon us. He also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We've heard that recently during our days of meetings that have just taken place. Neither, in verse 16, can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can ye if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient in me. That which is important and right, if you have faith, you can do it. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. Now I want you to listen to the next two verses very carefully, if you will. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case. For there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. If the gifts and power are done away with, these gifts are done away, there will be none that doeth good. That's exactly what it says there. I don't have any trouble understanding what it says. Now listen to the next verse. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and the gifts of God. Now that's straight out of the scripture. We can't very well dispute such an affirmative statement as that. So really it's up to us a lot. And really, I realize this. I am confident. We pray in our solemn assemblies, our special prayer services, purposes that the apostles have put there, that there might be an increase, that we might increase our humility, that we might enjoy a greater outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit. I'll get the wording more correctly. And we need to pray that. But I want to tell you one thing. I don't want to be forgetful to thank God for what I've already received. And I'm going to share some of them things with you tonight. Because if I didn't thank Him, and I want to witness to you of the power of God and how He's worked in my own life, and I know what He's worked in the lives of others. I enjoy reading what He did to Alma, who was supported in these trials and these troubles and these afflictions of every kind. When he was in prison, he knew he was delivered. That man had a testimony. He says, and I will still put my trust in God, and He shall still deliver me. And He will do the same to every one of you in here who put your trust in God. And so I want to share some of these things with you this evening. I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew now, 17th chapter. This was in the lives of the disciples of Jesus Christ, His apostles, as He talked to them and did different things with them. But first, in the 10th chapter, I just want to read a charge He gave to them in verse 8. Heal the sick, He told His 12 apostles. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now that was a charge He gave to them of old. And we know in this instance, the disciples of Jesus and Jesus went to where there's a multitude of people. And one of the people in that crowd come running to Jesus and said, have mercy, Lord, on my son. He said he is sore vexed. Oft times he falleth into the fire and oft time into the water. Says, I took him to your disciples and they couldn't cure him. Here was men that was given power to raise the dead. I have a story here tonight to share with you. A way to show what we should do before I finish this reading. And then Jesus said to them, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? But His power can be with us today. For this we should be eternally thankful. How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, I know his disciples who walked with him and did some pretty marvelous things, they saw this. And they come to him privately. They didn't want everybody seeing him even. Lord, why couldn't we do this? And his answer was this: because of your unbelief. Now, this was men that still had belief now. But he says, because of your unbelief, you couldn't do this. So he's going to show us a way. Sometimes it requires some unusual procedures in order to accomplish a fact. He says, for verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto that mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And of course, that must be nothing that is right. Naturally, they wouldn't have evil things. Howbeit, now this is the clue. Sometimes we have to use unusual means. This kind, and it means this kind of faith, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So he's given them a lesson. Now, you didn't have sufficient belief now. He says, if you'd fasted and prayed, you would have had. And then he says, faith as a grain of mustard seed. And some people have said to me in times past, well, that is just a tiny little seed. That must not be much faith. Don't kid yourself. In that little grain of mustard seed, a tiny little seed is a potential of life. The most giant of herbs, and sometimes called a tree in the scriptures, in that tiny little seed is all that potential to grow up into a giant tree or herb, whichever one you want to call it. And so it is, if your faith is like that little seed, a growing faith, a faith that can be used. Use your faith. When you use it, you get more faith. Then use it again. It's a growing faith. And he says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now I want to share two or three experiences. It said here, Jesus rebuked the devil. And in one instance, in the 1970s, I was staying in Brother Archie Bell's home. And while there, it was probably about Sunday or Monday, something like that. Maybe it was Monday. But anyway, some young people that met here, I think, for part of conference and maybe Sunday, and then they went down to South Missouri, and I don't recall the exact days they did it, but they went to a home out in the woods there, and they began talking. And they began talking because they'd heard something about evil spirits and other spirits, and after a while, some of these kids were really terrified. And one young lady called me at Brother Bell's house and said, we've really had a frightening experience. She says, it's really disturbing me. Says, I just don't know what to do. And so we advised her to come to Independence. And she came here. And I knew there, and I talked to Brother Bell, and we knew that only could this be rebuked by our fasting and our prayer. And we went ahead to conference, and we learned that she was at his home that day. So Brother Bell got his wife, Martha, and myself, and we went over to the home. And in that prayer, and this is where we laid hands on her head, that spirit was rebuked, and that lady had perfect peace. That young girl had perfect peace within her heart. And I want to show you, see, that was literally removed from her because we chose to fast and pray, and because of the greatness of God, mainly. Or I'd say altogether, as far as that goes, to be more specific. And I want to tell another instance. It was only through a prayer in another room I offered. And it was while my little granddaughter, and she's grown up and got a little baby herself now, but she's only about 3 years old, and it was in Phoenix and in the home of my son and his wife then. And one night, my wife and I lay in another room, and I heard her in that room thrashing around in terrible turmoil. And as this has happened in my life on other occasions, I felt the hairs kind of stand up on my arm and on my neck. And so I began praying for this little girl, and I rebuked whatever spirit was distressing her, and she became totally at peace. I wasn't even in the room with her. And the next day, the parents said, well, you know, she was having a terrible time last night. I said, did you notice how peaceful she come after a while? And they said, yes, we did. And so I shared my testimony of what God had done there. Now, God is real. And I don't have to even go that far back. But another time in this area here, a couple of young girls, and I don't want to be too specific, and they probably already know, they may remember. It's unimportant. But anyway, they had had an awful distressing thing because they were even scared to go into their bedroom because of experiences they had had. It was frightening to them. And I was called to go over to the home and visit in the home. And I'm sure that I probably fasted and prayed then. And we visited in that living room for a while and talked to these things and to the power of God. And then I says, now, I'm going to go back with you two young girls into the bedroom. We're going to kneel down and pray. And I'm going to rebuke that spirit. And I did that very thing. And the fear left, and they weren't afraid to go in that room any longer. The power of God is real. I want to turn now to the book of Mark, the 6th chapter. In the life of Jesus Christ again, when he and his disciples, and he went back to his own country where he is raised. And it was on the day that they began to teach in the synagogue. And many come together to hear Jesus teach, and they were astonished at this man. Why, they said, where hath this man these things? Well, look at all the wisdom he's able to teach, and look at all the mighty works he's able to do. Why, they said, isn't this the carpenter? Well, how could a carpenter do something like this? We knew him when he grew up here. He was a carpenter. Isn't this Mary's son? Aren't his brothers here? Why, we know all these brothers and these sisters. We know this. And it says, how could this guy do this? And they were offended at him. And then Jesus said, a prophet is with honor, save in his own country, among his own kin. And that is very true. A lot of times we can function a lot better if we're among strangers, and we can't write among the people that know us. Well, I know. Well, I don't think Marvin could do that. I know him all his life, you know. I knew him. But God can work with any one of us. Don't kid yourself. And then it says, this is Jesus. Now, this wasn't one of his 12 disciples. And he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled at their unbelief. Here are people who had unbelief. And that's why Jesus Christ couldn't even do a mighty work. He could do whatever he wanted to, but he works according to the faith of people. Now I want to turn to another people who were totally different. 3 Nephi 8 on page 648. Because this is one of the beautiful stories that I really like to dwell upon. Jesus Christ had come to this continent in the ending of the 34th year, and he began teaching these people. He began teaching them like the Sermon on the Mount, things that we read so often in Matthew and the various Gospels. He taught these things to them. He taught them the way of life and the things important that they could do. Then he looked about on this multitude of people, and he discerned that they was getting tired. He says, well, I'm going to leave and come back on tomorrow. I'm going to go to the lost tribes of Israel. But they were in tears, he looked and saw, as if they would, that he would stay a little longer. And he had compassion on these people. And he says, have ye any that are sick or afflicted or lame or blind or deaf or afflicted in any manner? He says, bring them hither. I got compassion upon you. He says, I see that your faith is sufficient that I heal you. And these people went forth with one accord. In verse 8 or 9, and it came to pass that when he had thus spoken, all the multitude with one accord did go forth with their sick and their afflicted and their lame and with their blind and with their dumb and with all they that were afflicted in any manner. And he did heal them, every one, as they were brought unto him. A people of tremendous faith. Well, we find over in 4th Nephi, found on page 681. And I just want to pick up and read verse 3. And it came to pass in the 36th year, 2 years later, The people were all converted unto the Lord. We really can't even imagine that. But it did happen. Upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And there were no, and listen to this, no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. I don't know, maybe that'd be a good thing to read every conference session. You know, it wouldn't be too bad, would it, really? Just think on that a little bit. No contention, no disputations, everybody did deal justly one with another. Pretty good example. I can't really fault it, can you? Well, this, now I don't want to read all this because it'd take a lot of time, but let's skip over to the next page, 683, verse 14. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. Verse 17 really gives how it was. And it came to pass there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. The love of God. We know that marvelous vision that I already referenced, the tree of life that Lehi saw and the fruit thereof, was a representation of the love of God. And he saw that the fruit of that tree was able to make one happy. He went forth and partook of the fruit of that tree, the love of God. And his soul was filled with exceeding great joy. He also enumerated the way to that tree of life as walking the straight and narrow path and clinging to the rod of iron, which is a representation of the Word of God. If you cling to the Word of God, it will lead you to the tree of life. And I think of a little testimony a number of years ago. The last year I saw Sister Willard alive at a Phoenix reunion. And I can see it, still see her sitting back on that side in her wheelchair. And she bore a testimony on this rod of iron and the importance of clinging to the Word of God. And I can still hear her words, "Don't turn loose as a rod of iron." If you cling to the Word of God, it will take you to the tree of life. The love of God. Charity is the pure love of Christ. So if we want to do great things, it is contingent upon our love one for another. Just like these people of old arrived at it. We too can do it. If they did it, we too could do it. And this love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings. Different today, isn't it? Nor strifes, nor tumults. There was none of these. Nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. Things that are tearing our nation apart today. There was none. Not none of that there. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people that had been created by the hand of God. Now, isn't that what people really want, is happiness? You hear that among young people. I'm not happy. Heard one young man when his parents were getting a divorce, says, "I may never be happy again." Think on it. We need to look where we're going and what we're doing. We're influencing. A lot of times, the sad thing, we're misinfluencing our little children. We better start setting a good example in the ways we act, the way we treat one another, our love we show toward one another. There were no robbers. It's a frightful thing in our nation today. There were none. Nor murders. My goodness, read what happens in Kansas City. You can't very well go a month and not have a few of them. You know that. Why, go to any other city, same thing. Neither was there any Lamanites nor any manner of ites, but they were one, the children of Christ, and a beautiful thing, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. like to turn to the book of Acts. This is found in the third chapter. Kind of like this story too. There's a whole bunch of likes, so I can never say I got a favorite story because I find too many of my favorites. But anyway, in this instance, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And there was a man who was lame from the day he was born, from his mother's womb. And he was carried daily to the gates of the temple to lie there and beg for alms. And Peter and John looked at him and said, "Look on us." And he looked, expecting to receive alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And the story says right here, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now that's an out-and-out miracle. And he leaping up and stood and walked. Now wouldn't that be about the happiest thing that ever happened to that guy? Well, I can walk, I can leap, I can do all kinds of things. And entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You wasn't going to take away that fellow's testimony. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and that which had happened unto him. They were filled with that. Over in the next chapter, 4:22, it says, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." So he wasn't any young guy at all. Over 40 years old, and now he can leap and run and shout and praises to God for what God did to him. Well, I want to share a few experiences with you. I told you I would. Some of you may have heard these, but not many has heard these. And I want to share them with you tonight. One time, going back from a conference here, and at this time I still had an apple orchard. And the weeds had grown high in it while I was at an August minister's conference. So I went back and had a chopper behind it, and I was zigzagging. Instantaneous, when I've been praying over 10 years. A lady wanted to become a member of the church, and her husband was so opposed to it, he wouldn't even allow it. In that year, he said, "Well, just go ahead if you want to." So it prays. Sometimes it pays to not give up. I had an instantaneous one, and I had one that I prayed over for years, and they both become a reality in that same year. Several of you remember about a year and a half ago when Brother Roy Kuhn in Emmett, Idaho, had a very great need. Anyway, this right artery had totally blocked off, and he had lost about 96% of this and over here. And his wife called about 10 or 10:30 that night and wanted me to let Brother Sheldon know about this. And I was very concerned. It was over almost 700 miles away, so it was a time I had to rely upon God and the power of prayer. So I told my wife and I, "Let's go into the bedroom and pray." And I had an experience that I've had a few times in my life. And I knelt down there and prayed for Roy that he would go through all this operation all right with no problems. And I saw two other experiences in which I too had to rely in prayer upon. I couldn't be there at that time. It was unfolded before me. And I had confidence that Roy would be all right. Now I wish to share the other two experiences with you. The first one happened the first time was my wife. At this time she had had problems with her heart, was taking medication for angina. And while I was at the Phoenix reunion, after the first day of service that evening, I had a phone call in my house. Or not my house, I'm getting confused a bit. In another house there, they called me and told me there was a phone call. And they told me what it was for and that she'd had a heart attack. So those who were left, about half the people, began a prayer service in the auditorium there. And I went over and talked to her. And I couldn't be there right then. I couldn't even flew there and got there. I couldn't have driven there because there's no shape to drive. No need of having two people in the hospital. So I had to rely upon God. And she thought she'd be all right. And she was in the hospital, so we went back. And as I entered that room, I was touched with the prayers. And one who has grown up to big boy now, it's grandson of Brother and Sister McIndoo. His name is Jared. And I heard him praying for Bernice. Others were praying there. I offered my prayer. And I mentioned that later, you know, to some of them. And little Holly McIndoo said, "Marvin, I was praying for Bernice too. I didn't hear hers, but she wanted to make me sure that she knew that she was offering a prayer for Bernice." Well, and I had the next day a sister there, Sister Patsy Yates, come to me and says, "Marvin, I'll buy your plane trip home if you want to go." But I called Bernice the next morning, and she says, "Well, I'm in the hands of good doctors, and no sense of you coming home." So I chose to stay. It was a difficult situation, really. And those in Phoenix has kind of heard me relate some of this that Wednesday evening prayer service a little later after this happening. But anyway, I chose to stay, and I relied upon God. And Monday, I called my wife. And they had to take one of these catheter things that go up the vein, and they found no problem in her heart. They took away her medication, and so she was no longer under medication. Well, the power of God worked there. The last instance was probably about 6 years ago or seven. And it was in Toppenish, Washington. And this involved a little boy. And his aunt was keeping him. And he fell on a comb or a brush and jammed it up inside of his mouth. And he bled profusely. Then he went to sleep that day and was all right. But the next day she was visiting us in the home of her mother. And while there, this little boy become this as red as can be. So she says, "Well, I got to take him to the doctor." And she took him up to the Indian agency where they go, about 10 miles or 11 miles away. And she called back and says, "His fever is 106. I got to get permission from the parents to even give medication." So I told Sister Walker, "We better kneel in prayer." And I offered one of the most earnest prayers I ever offered. And a little bit, this same daughter of hers called back. Says, "Well, I've got permission to give the little boy antibiotics, but his fever's already down to 103. 2 days later, he was playing normally in my presence. Well, these experiences unfolded before me as I prayed for Roy Kuhn that night. And I had confidence he'd be all right. He went through this, and the doctors were amazed. He said he should have had a major stroke, but he went through this operation. But the next day, I did call Brother Sheldon. Not alone that, I called five other areas and asked for prayers in Green River, Wyoming. And here was just one lone sister, but she has another friend that's studying with her. He's an even member of the church, and they both had prayer for him. I called the Briggs in Malad City, Idaho, and the Walkers in Toppenish, Washington. And I also called Houston, Missouri. And I also called Columbia Falls, Montana. And they all prayed. And he went through that operation and surprised all the surgeons. When I learned he did so well, my work was only half done. So I called Brother Sheldon and told him how well it went. And then these other five people, I wrote a letter and shared all this experience with him, how well he had done. So they all knew. I felt they needed to have this for their benefit. I thought of another experience, a little different. It involved a sister who had really wanted baptism that year. But when I got there, she was in total turmoil. Her countenance was sad. And I talked with her a couple days. I was getting absolutely nowhere. I was striking out at every turn. She'd go with her father hunting and everything, but the little lady wasn't even eating or anything. And the third evening, with her mother and grandmother and her there and myself,
the power and spirit of God worked, I'd say a miracle in the heart of that little lady. Her whole face and countenance changed to one of total sadness to one of complete happiness. And whereas she hadn't even been eating, she wanted to eat now. A year later, this little lady was baptized. Thought of one more experience I'll share with you. This happened one time in Denver, Colorado. And my brother and his wife and their daughter Patsy and their son Dwayne and my wife and my daughter Janice and my son Arden were all in one car, a two-door Chevy. And we went over there for church services and had church for the people who was there. And we ate dinner in downtown Denver and on the sprizzy, busy streets while we got ready to leave. And Dwayne, just a little teeny kid, I don't know how old, a year or two at the most, somewhere in that, stuck his hand out the hinge side of that door, and my brother closed it. And both my brother and I saw a crook in his arm. What to do on the busy streets of Denver? Bob anointed his hand with oil. He went to sleep. When he woke up, there was no bend in his arm. Now, Bob and I, some didn't see the crook in his arm, but Bob and I both will testify of that. So it shows how the power of God can work. He is a great God. He does hear and answer prayer. But I just decided to share a few of these beautiful experiences with you tonight. I'd like to turn now to one other reading from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And this is found in verses 28 through 31. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And of course we know the answer is no. But he gives these things severally according to his will, that the body might profit. So the gifts of God are real. And I know if we humbly approach God, we'll even see a greater outpouring of them. But never would I want to be diligent of my duty in testifying of what I've received. And I've only told you a few of the marvelous things that has happened in my life this night. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. And it goes into the beautiful chapter on charity, the pure love of Christ. And Paul says, and now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of all is charity. The greatest of all is the pure love of Christ. We must not forget it, brothers and sisters.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Brother Ely. For our closing song, we do have a special.